We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The Field of 68 Media Network presents Red is the New Orange, a Syracuse basketball podcast.
Vince intercepts a pass, breakaway for the freshman guard, he flies and slams! Aerial assault from Judah Vince!
Looking to go back door to Bell, they get it to Amir, corner three, knocks it down! Chris Bell, the sharpshooter!
Bringing you everything you need to know out of the 315.
Up top, Williams surges ahead, up with the right hand and in! A pretty up-and-under move from Benny Williams to beat his man.
Over to Taylor. He skips into the lane, puts up a floater, and drops in.
Let's get it started with your hosts, Ian Unsworth and Johnny Gadamowicz.
Well, Syracuse's ACC tournament run is short-lived. In fact, not much of a run at all. The Orange fall to NC State 83-65 in a game that was close at the half, and then not very close at all in the second half. What's going on? Welcome on into another edition of Red is the New Orange with Ian Unsworth. I'm Johnny Gadamowicz. ACC tournament over for the Cuse. It comes crashing down. As always, we're a part of the Field of 68 podcast network. You can find us wherever you choose to listen to your podcasts. And championship week in full swing, not just ACC, but every conference. Exciting time of year for college hoops. Be sure you check out all the good stuff going on over at the Field of 68. There were some electric videos surfacing Twitter yesterday of John Fanta and Red Panda at the Big East tournament during halftime. Two of, I think, the most widely liked individuals, not just on social media, but on the planet, between Fanta, and everybody loves what Red Panda does. Quite the collab. But anyway, all that to say, pay attention to what's going on over at the Field of 68 over the next few weeks. A lot of fun stuff coming your way. A lot of fun stuff for Syracuse, though, Ian.
I've never heard Red Panda speak in my life, but I'm sure John Fant at the Big East tournament is absolute as a ball of electricity.
The crowd was going nuts. I believe it was during St. John's Seton Hall.
Okay.
And it was, from what I saw,
anyone knows how to fire up a St. John's Seton Hall crowd, it's Fanta.
It sounded like it got just as loud during halftime as it did during the course of game action, which you can't blame anybody. I mean, it was simply electric. But either way, Syracuse falls to NC State, 83-65. And Ian, this felt like a game that the Orange were in early. And I'll be fully honest, this game was back on what? Was it Tuesday or was it Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Either way, it was a gorgeous day. I was out for a walk. I missed the start of the game. Went for a walk, enjoying this nice weather, thinking, all right, close game, get back, watch a fun second half. I didn't get to watch a very fun second half because Syracuse got ran out of the gym 48-33 in half number two. It felt like these two teams for the final 20 minutes, Ian, were in totally different stratospheres.
Everyone missed the beginning of the game, Johnny, not just you, because ESPN2 needed to show the ending of the Southland Conference Championship game. Congratulations to Will Wade and McNeese State. You're going dancing. That was disappointing. because usually, you know, when the TV networks roll over, you miss like the first 3 minutes, 4 minutes, turn the game on and it's already like 11-9 and there are 13 and a half minutes to go in the first half. And meanwhile, my great aunt, lover to death, is bombarding me with Italian food. I'm in New Jersey. So I just completed an 8-hour drive. I'm up in New Hampshire now. All that being said, the second half was the DJ Horn explosion that we all kind of worried about. He didn't do much of anything in the first half. 2 points, 4 points, and he finishes with 16. It's so hard to deal with NC State once Horn is going. And DJ Burns, as we also mentioned, got his scoring going early on. 15 points for Burns, 7 of 12. And Syracuse kept him in the game. DJ Burns only had one foul. That's unacceptable in the ACC tournament. You need to get him out of the game, especially when you know he's your main option or he's NC State's main option. And credit to Michael O'Connell, who made some big threes. Jaden Taylor chipped in as well. But you can always live with those guys scoring. That's not the big deal here. I mean, maybe Syracuse at halftime got a little bit too comfy, got a little bit too cozy, but Horn hit a couple of shots where it's just like, oh my gosh, this guy's not going to miss. And then as we've seen NC State do over the next day or two, like these dudes come out of the locker room, whether it's at the start against Duke or the second half against Syracuse, and just tear you to shreds. Because once Horn makes shots, everybody on that team is like, you know what? I'm going to make some big shots too. And for DJ Horn especially, he's from Raleigh, grew up in the epicenter of North Carolina basketball. He probably couldn't wait to get after Duke. And I'm sure the win on Thursday is a bit sweeter, but the win Wednesday leaves us just kind of wondering, like, geez, man, when is Syracuse going to have a guy like DJ Horn who can just ruin a game for an opposing team?
I saw a great Barstool tweet this morning, and I'll read it here word for word. It goes, you know it's March when all of America has fallen in love with a big fella who simply gets buckets and destroys Duke. That is what DJ Burns did yesterday against the Blue Devils. For Syracuse, I think the big problem in this game, Ian, and we've sort of been talking about it over the course of the past couple of weeks, like just no size, nothing on the interior. You know, they get out-rebounded by 9. They turn the ball over a lot.
19 times.
Turnovers. And again, even when Syracuse has turned it over a lot this year, they've been able to kind of offset that by coming up with takeaways themselves. They didn't do that a ton. NC State only turned it over 10 times. Pretty average number. So just too many things that didn't go the Orange's way. And it feels like year after year, we're singing the same song, right? Like, I don't believe they've ever made it to a Friday since joining the ACC. And at some point, you have to wonder why. Like, is it just a lack of not having guys who can take over games like a DJ Horn did? Is it, if you're superstitious, is Syracuse cursed? I don't know if we want to start to have that conversation. But either way, it's frustrating, however you want to cut the cake. And it's disappointing because you still get to 20 wins with the first-year head coach. But to have another season that just ends with a bitter taste in your mouth, especially when the team you lose to goes out and beats a Duke, and you're left with that, oh, could have been us type feeling.
And you beat them twice already. You beat them twice already, and you handled them once. It wasn't just a win. It was a convincing double-digit win. So that is not – it just feels like Syracuse played out of character in that second half. That wasn't the Syracuse team that we've come to expect. That was as bad of a second half as the Duke game way, way back in January. And other than that, even though Syracuse has lost some bad games and that Wake game was never in contention, so they played bad for a full 40 minutes – but that was a completely out of character second half for Syracuse.
And I think that's a great point because we go back to earlier in the year and the ability to piece together a strong second half was a problem.
Yeah.
But it felt like you know, when they go on the win streak, when they get momentum on their side, like even the Clemson loss to end the regular season, like it had been a while since we had gone through like a second half collapse.
We should have known this was coming because they kept on blowing leads. They were up 16, 19, double digits against Notre Dame, against Virginia. Like these games kept on coming down to 4, 5, 6 points when they really shouldn't have. So that's also got to play into it. And you're playing Notre Dame. I understand you take your foot off the gas a little bit, but that's a trend that, Johnny, I think you and I probably swept under the rug a bit more than we'd care to admit just because they're winning. And hey, this is a young team, first year head coach. You'll take the wins. It's conference play, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But instead of coming out with that fire in the second half on Wednesday, you expect that you can coast or you can make too many mistakes and you get swept under the rug like we did the trend.
Totally. Frustrating day for Syracuse and the Orange now, if it wasn't already crystal clear, not NCAA tournament bound. You'll hear all sorts of conversations regarding NIT. Is that something that should be worth their while? We won't dive into that a ton today, but perhaps as we continue to bring you coverage throughout the NCAA tournament, that's a conversation for next week.
Well, here, let me just read the changes real quick, because some people are automatically assuming, yes, Syracuse will make the NIT or they'll get an invite. So they changed it this year. People probably heard a little bit of rumbling about it at the beginning of the season, but conference regular season champions that don't win their conference tournament, AKA mid-majors, like a Richmond or something like that, who lost earlier on in their tournaments, they do not receive automatic bids to the NIT. Whatever. It's not like Syracuse is going to win the ACC, then go to the NIT. That's not a possibility. Right. However, the NIT guarantees two teams based on net rankings from each of six conferences, the ACC being one of them. The two top teams in the net rankings not qualifying for the NCAA tournament will be selected. So let's look at the ACC's net rankings. Who's in the tournament? UNC, Duke, Clemson, Pitt. I mean, no matter how much Corey Alexander says, I do not think Wake is in the tournament. So that leaves us with Wake, Virginia Tech. Three teams that are, I mean, Virginia's still in the ACC tournament, all power to them. But Wake, Virginia Tech, and BC, along with NC State, are all above Syracuse in the net rankings.
Right.
So I don't see a path unless they get past all that, and then there's still bids to be handed out, that Syracuse is in the NIT.
Which I think if you told people that at the beginning of the year, they'd be losing their mind. But it's where this team is at this point in time. We'll get a quick word from Rob when we come back. We'll reflect on this NC State loss that was and sort of zoom out on the season as a whole. Don't go anywhere.
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request, the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod. Like and share the YouTube videos. Tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
So all told, offensively, Syracuse did not have a horrible game. They shoot 47% from the floor as a team. They have four guys scoring double figures, led by Judah Mintz, who has a team high 21. But again, those 19 turnovers, six from Judah, six from Copeland, really end up costing Syracuse down the stretch. And I'll go back to something I said last week, Ian. You know, when it's March, you need your best players to be at their best. And Judah got his 21 points. But outside of that, I'm looking at J.J. Starling, only 9 points. I'm looking at Chris Bell, 11, I guess, but we'd come to expect more almost, right? We've seen Chris Bell have those games where he just goes off. We didn't see that. Now, he only played 21 minutes. He was dealing with foul trouble. Malik gave you a very Malik game, 11 points, 12 boards. Kwadir with 11, but Kwadir felt like a liability defensively all night long. So it's just you didn't get the combination of enough guys piecing together their best basketball at the right time, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, and for Syracuse, think about the scoring at the beginning of the year and how Judah Mintz was regaled for his ability to get to the free throw line. He did not get to the free throw line double-digit times in a month, right? He didn't shoot over 10 free throws since the win over UNC. That was such a big source of scoring, not only for Mintz, but for Syracuse as a whole. And I don't know what to say from a referee perspective. I don't think they were missing calls left and right. But Syracuse as a team only shot 6 free throws. And we've known all year, this team is not a good shooting team. This team needs to make their money on getting the ball to the basket and attacking the paint and drawing some fouls. And I feel like that was kind of lost. Maybe because NC State's guards buckled down on defense. Maybe the ball movement wasn't good enough. But you need to have more than 6 free throws if you're not a good shooting team. And again, that really falls back on Mintz, who had those 21 points, but on 21 shots. That is not efficient in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Like
that's not, it's just simply a really rough day for the guy who has to be your best player, and that's a lot of ball time. Needless to say, North Carolina State also took 8 more field goal attempts because of the 17-8 offensive rebounding advantage.
So a lot of extra possessions.
A lot of extra possessions. Your legs are more tired on defense, and then it's tougher to go down the floor and create a good shot because you just spent 20, 30 extra seconds in a stance.
Syracuse only took one free throw in the second half. Yeah. NC State, by comparison, took 16. Mm-hmm. They were 20 of 24 from the line. The Orange were 5 of 6. And I'll take it a step further. I don't just think it's on Judah. I think it's on JJ, too. Like,
yeah.
Sure, maybe he's not as prolific as getting to the line as Mintz. But at the end of the day, if you're a guard and your strong suit is kind of being that slasher that both Starling and Mintz are, you've got to recognize that and you've got to take advantage. And again, like you said, Ian, for a team that doesn't have the shooting, the points got to come from somewhere, right? You got to find a way to keep pace with these teams that can shoot you out of the gym. And I think for Syracuse, there wasn't that cohesion offensively. And maybe that's coaching. Maybe that's the players themselves. But, like, that's got to be a point of emphasis. Like, hey, all right, if we don't have a look, like, go get yours, take somebody to the rack and draw some contact. And if nothing else, just get to the line. And that's something that it feels like earlier in the year they were making it a point to do, and for whatever reason kind of shied away from it as time went on.
The other thing, back to the Burns with one foul point, that is an egregious number, man. That is beyond reproach, in my opinion. This guy was on the floor for the majority of the second half. Keats wasn't taking him out. It's not like he looked tired. Burns, to his credit, rested on defense. Don't see many players do that. Usually the coaches are like, rest on offense, but that's when State needs him. They don't need him to play good defense. When we did our preview episode on Tuesday, I think I went into a whole diatribe about getting Burns in screens and getting him off the floor, either making him too tired to play or getting him in foul trouble. Like, Judah and JJ should be eating if they can get that switch. And in the second half, I barely saw any of that. Maybe North Carolina State was so determined not to switch that they just left Burns in the paint. But still, you need to create lanes. You're big. You're physical. These guards of Syracuse are bigger than Jaden Taylor, bigger than DJ Horn, bigger than O'Connell. Like, there's no excuse to not get in the paint and go after Burns, who we know he's slow. We know he can't move laterally. You need to take advantage of that guy. And Syracuse did not do enough of that defensively.
It felt like they weren't playing the matchups at all. And there were a lot of matchups where Syracuse had the advantage.
Yeah.
But you said just didn't make it a point to execute on those. By the way, the 19 turnovers, season high for Syracuse. Most times they've coughed it up.
And Syracuse leads the ACC in assist to turnover ratio on the season. Yeah.
I think uncharacteristic is a word that comes to mind when you look at this NC State game, particularly when you think about how the two games against the Wolfpack went in the regular season. And again, I go back to just how frustrating it is, Ian, because I think you would agree with me in that this was not a bad year. They didn't pass with flying colors.
No.
But the fact that Red Autry got 20 wins out of this group is very impressive. And you would have wished that it, like, just go win one tournament game, right? Like, if you lose to Duke, you tip your cap and all right, you put up a fight, but they were just the better team. But to have it end in a way where it's like, oh, still in a game like this that you could have had, you just didn't show up and felt like you didn't do your homework almost. We're talking about those matchups that they didn't exploit. It makes it that much worse, particularly when it's 19 turnovers that are the main reason that keep you from emerging victorious.
We'd known what Syracuse's roster deficiencies have been. And did they rear themselves rebounding-wise? Of course. But was shooting hasn't been a problem against North Carolina State. Yes, because Chris Bell made 8 threes in the first half at PNC Arena. But still, Syracuse got by. And you should, with a roster that is this talented and this explosive, get by against the bottom half of the ACC. And the Orange had kind of done that all year. Last year, there was no getting by because the zone was holier than Swiss cheese, and the team just looked disinterested. I don't think at all this season, besides some really bad losses, this Syracuse team has ever looked disinterested or has gotten down or has – well, they've gotten down in the bad losses. But when things have gotten tight, most of the time they've kept it together. And even in that – like even on Wednesday – I don't think Syracuse as a team got emotionally, you know, distraught or started fighting with one another. You know, there's only so much you can see on the TV cameras, but it didn't look like the group was fractured. And that's a big credit to Red Autry, especially after what happened last year, the way the season ended and how they would just give up game after game and all the things they've been through this year. The Benny Williams suspension before the season. You've got injuries to McLeod. Well, you know, Westry never makes it back to full health. He's probably going to be a big piece next year, but he was definitely in their plans when the season started. You lose Benny with the dismissal. Like, all those things can change the team's mindset in so many different ways, and Autry kept them together. So that's a big credit to him. And it felt like Syracuse at least emotionally kept it together. One quote from Chris Bell just about the highs and lows after the season, I think really summed it up. Like he said, especially because we know how Chris Bell is, like, it was a very emotional year and we stuck through it all. And, you know, next year, as we've talked about, they have to bring that high and low and shrink it so there's less of both.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Especially, we have to mention something that you just brought up, Ian. This team didn't really have a big when McLeod went, ever since McLeod went down. Like, as much as I love Malik, 6'8", I think he's the perfect power forward.
Yeah.
He's not a center. This team played the entire second half of the season without a big man. Let's call it like it is. And still found a way to hang in and get big wins. But again, that's a formula that you can only ride so long
and
before,
like, things next year, the way Brown is shooting it next year, if he plays the four, like, he's going to be great. He'll be like Wake is running two bigs out there all the time. And Malik Brown would start at Wake Forest at the four. So I think they'll be great as long as they can find another big who can step out and shoot a little bit. Cause Brown and a big plotter like McLeod can't play together. But if, as long as you find another big that can shoot, he's a gem.
Well, we've got a whole summer to think about it as far as what next year's roster is going to look like. But for now, Syracuse's ACC tournament ends in round one. Any closing thoughts, Ian, before we say goodbye?
Yeah, just, again, disappointing and somewhat emblematic of the, every once in a while, you'll have an uncharacteristic game. This was that. But you can see little bits and pieces of trend lines throughout the season of points every once in a while we've picked up on. And the theme of the no big man, the rebounding, I think this was like watching a middle school play where everyone forgets their lines at the end. You know, they get through the beginning well, the teacher's helping them out, and then she's like, okay, you know, we've got information, you guys are going to take it from here. And it's a big old mess. I don't know. I know you've got some close ties to musical theater, Johnny. Have you ever seen one of these?
That's a great analogy by you. It's a great analogy. I will say I'm pulling for NC State the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. If you haven't gotten your fix of ACC basketball, if you want more, there's two great games tonight.
Great
Pitt,
quotable
UNC, NC State, UVA.
Big quotable from DJ Burns after the Duke game. He was like, we know the fans out there were cheering, but they weren't cheering for us. They were cheering for Duke to lose.
But now everybody's hopping on the Wolfpack bandwagon. And for good
reason, I thought BC was going to beat UVA last night. That was a fantastic basketball game.
Yeah. I was keeping tabs with it from the Garden after a crazy night at the Big East tournament.
Oh, I'm sure. Was it empty by the Marquette Villanova game? I'm sure no one.
People stuck. Like, there were a lot of Nova fans there.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, but I'm surprised, like, the Johnny's fans and, you know, the Seton Hall people that weren't listening to Gary Cohen on the radio would stick around for Marquette.
Right, right. More Marquette fans there than you would have thought, too. Considering they're in Milwaukee, I guess they travel well. But when you're a top 10 team in the country, it makes sense why. they travel well. Syracuse, most definitely not a top 10 team in the country. Orange fall to the Wolfpack. ACC tournament run is over. And now
not even a run.
Postseason hopes in question. NIT, will they go? Will they even get asked? We'll find out. We'll break that all down next week. Enjoy Selection Sunday as well. The next time we talk to you, there will be a bracket out. So we
You want to make a bet? You and I make our brackets, and then the loser, just us two, nobody else. The loser has to sing One Shining Moment on the podcast.
Oh my goodness. All right.
What do you think?
I don't know if my vocal cords are going to be up for that. Is that going to be the day after we call a game or something?
I mean, every day is going to be the day after we call a game, if we're being completely honest.
That's true. All right. I'll do it. What the heck?
All right. Fist bump. This is our agreement here. Thanks. Fist bump.
All right. So now that's something to look forward to. But for this week, that we'll close up shop with that and leave you after Syracuse falls 83-65 to the Wolfpack. This is Red is the New Orange. Find us wherever you get your podcasts. With Ian, I'm Johnny, saying so long. Enjoy the rest of the conference tournaments this week. You got Pitt, North Carolina, and NC State UVA tonight in the ACC. And then the big reveal on Sunday. Everybody locked in Sunday evening when the bracket gets released. We'll be back Monday to break it all down, the weekend that was, and look ahead to the postseason.